Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I'm so thankful to God's saving grace, for His saving grace, but also for His enabling and accompanying grace day by day. And I have seen God's grace exhibited in my life through the ministry of Dr. David Gibbs time and time again. How many of you have learned that the grace of God is an enablement that comes by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts? And then sometimes God is gracious to bring people into our lives who are instruments of His grace. And that's what Dr. Gibbs has been for the Lancaster Baptist Church for these 26 years and for many other churches as well. I know in the last several years that Christian Law Association has served 10,000 churches in different legal matters, and every one of those churches has been the recipient of the grace of this ministry. And so, Brother Gibbs, we're delighted that you're here. For those of you that do not know Dr. Gibbs, he's the president and founder of the Christian Law Association, a wonderful preacher of God's Word, and our friend. And let's welcome him to Lancaster Baptist today. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gibbs. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming. I bless you.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. My heart has been so blessed this morning. The music has been such a ministry of God's grace to my heart and soul, and listening to these singers and these musicians, and then Brother Ron Hamilton. Boy, I get to heaven, I'm going to sing just like that man right there. God's going to let me sing like that. Right now, they bless me by saying, "We'd rather you not sing," and I understand it totally, and I have just had such a good time here today. And it's always a treasure, a treat for me to get to be with Pastor. Now, that dear man of God puts wind in my spiritual sails. And it's been so gracious. He and Miss Terry, profoundly in their debt. And I just love being here. If you have your Bibles this morning, please, would you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And then go and look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. For the next few minutes this morning, I want to take you to what many great men of God have written on and championed as being one of the most insidious, cancer-like sins that any one of us can ever have in our lives. It's a sin that traditionally starts out small but never remains small. It has an incredible propensity to keep multiplying, and it's a sin that quickly we can become comfortable with, and yet it's a devastating sin. It's a sin that God wants out of every one of us. This morning, for the next few minutes, I draw your attention to the sin called pride. And many have defined pride, and I agree, as the worship of self. It's when we kind of want God on our terms. When we want God our way, my way. Now, God addresses the sin of pride, and read with me Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember, written by the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, under the moving of the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The whole duty of man is to fear God. Now go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord, remember, this is our whole duty, is to hate evil. And then God lists a second thing, and say it out loud with me. What's the next word? Pride. God doesn't say, I want you uncomfortable with it. He doesn't say, I want you to work on it. The command of God for you and me is to hate evil and to hate pride. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. How good are you in your life? How good am I in my life at not letting pride get a grip on us? I was traveling on an airplane with my wife, and if you travel a lot, you know, travel can be exasperating, aggravating. You can run into situations that you'd rather not run into. But we're traveling together, and if you fly enough, occasionally you can get complimentary upgrades. If you fly a lot like we do, you can get them somewhat regular on occasion. And boy, I went up there, and here's my wife and I, and they said, yep, we got you all upgraded. And so I thought, man, this is terrific. And two seats together. And I'm like, wow, this is great. Well, we go in, get seated, get all our stuff put up in the bins and everything. Great. Now here comes a gate agent. Very apologetic. Oh, Mr. Gibbs, I'm so sorry. We didn't read this right. You're not upgraded. You're in the back of the bus. And something just kind of welled up in me. That there's this little feeling, I don't like this. In fact, I really don't like this. Don't you people know how to run your show? Now, my wife is sitting there, and she reaches over, and she says, honey, it's fine. She can see me starting to get riled. How many of you know God gave wives this ability to read right through you? And she's patting my hand saying, it's okay. It's no big deal. She said, it's a pretty short flight. No problem. And I'm like, Now that is pride starting to work. I don't like how I'm being treated. It's not that I don't like how God's being treated. It's not that I don't like what's happening to someone else. It's that I'm riled up over how I'm being treated. Well, we pick all our stuff up. And I said, no, we get our aisle seat, right, that we had before. And I said, yep, we still got it. When you fly, if you can get an aisle seat, that's a blessing. Because you get to sit in your seat and spill into the aisle. And some of you are like me, you got a pretty good spill quotient. I mean, we sort of lap over a little bit. So now I'm back here, and my wife is still working on me. She's saying, honey, come on, it's okay. Come on, smile. Do you know what? Pride will strip your joy. It'll destroy your peace. Nothing can jettison your contentment like pride. And I'm still sitting there saying, man alive, how did I not make the upgrade with all the miles? How did... And then they put me up there, and man, that's embarrassing to get knocked out of the where you want to be. And then I'm just sitting there staring to see who's going to come up and get those seats. Because I'm going to put the eye on them. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just, Well, nobody's coming. And I'm like, what? Now here they come again. Oh, Mr. Gibbs, we're so sorry. You both are upgraded. And I thought, okay. But I said, well, how could you not? I'm going to get what I want, but I want them to know I don't like this. When pride gets a grip on you, you want people to know that you're not a happy camper. Because, man, you're doing stuff to me. Now, my wife, she's like, oh, isn't that wonderful? And I said, well, what would have been wonderful if they hadn't moved us? She said, no, honey, it's okay. Come on, it's okay. So we go back up, get resituated, and I'm sitting there, and she said, now, come on, smile, honey, smile. She said, you got to get a little joy of the Lord. You know, I didn't need my wife to say joy of the Lord to me. I just didn't need that. Remember what I said about pride? You want God, but you want God on your terms. And God, this isn't how I think it ought to be going. Now we're sitting there, and they came around and said, would you like a Diet Coke or something? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Here comes the gate agent again. Mr. Gibbs, I don't know how to tell you this, but we got to move you back again. Now, the first thought that went through my mind is you better go hire a crane, because I'm not leaving this seat. Pride will make a fool of you over what, when you look at it later, you will say, what in the world, sweet Alabama, what was I thinking? My wife again, honey, it's okay. It's good. She said, sitting here, we're not next to anybody. Back there, there'll be somebody by us who we can witness to. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood to witness. No. Right now, I want to do a lot of talking, but witnessing is not on the list, honey. When pride gets a hold of you, everything that matters to God will not matter to you. Because you'll be consumed with what matters to you. It grips you. I said, wow. Okay, I said, we're in the same seats, right? And he said, well, there is a little problem. We gave those away. And we got two seats for you, but they're not together. And they're two middle seats. Now, the problem with some of the middle seats is you're better off to let them put a luggage tag on you and go as baggage. Because you can only sit like this so long. Gloria Ann, come on, honey, it's okay. They're apologizing. You know what? Their apology meant nothing. When pride's got you, you don't want to hear an apology. You just don't like what's happening to you. And pride lets it invade your life. It's about self. On the way back, Gloria Ann's opening her purse, and she says, I know that you gave your last track out to the fellow out of the group. She said, here's some tracks, honey. And I'm like, I don't need those. Then I finally see who comes to take. and it's two airline people. So I said to him, let me get this right. You bounced us out to put deadheading people. And I'm sitting there in my mind orchestrating the letter I'm going to write, what I'm going to say getting off this plane. And never one time did I say, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Because pride will strip every bit of that out of you. Nothing can get you to act more not like a Christian than pride. And that's why God says the fear of God is to hate pride. Mark these verses down as I read them. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Can you imagine being an abomination to the Lord? Proverbs 15, 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. There is no sin you can invite in more destructive. James says God resisteth the proud. You want God against you? This sin will trigger the opposition of God. And it will trigger the destructive force of God in your life. Oh, wow. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 26, 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. We're getting off that airplane, and Brother Chapel, I'm just kind of riled up. And Glory Ann, my precious wife, and boy, congratulations on your anniversary. This week, my wife and I celebrate 47 years of marriage is this week. And what a dear lady. She said, honey, don't be like that. She said, don't be like that. She said, you're embarrassing the Lord. Don't be like that. She said, I love you and I know you. And she said, you're just upset. And she said, the devil's making a bid right now. Don't you give it to him. But Mateo, pride is the devil's door. It's what he wants to get in with. I love the way a very famous preacher said it once. He said, the world's smallest package is a man wrapped up in himself. You know what pride is about? It's about self. And it's about the exaltation of self. There was a very famous Puritan writer by the name of Thomas Watson, and he said, it's a spiritual drunkenness. It flies up like wine into the brain and intoxicates it. It is idolatry. A proud man is a self-worshipper. The prideful person thinks everything should be from them, through them, and then to them and for them. Life is all about them. That's what pride does. Now, we live in such a pampered society and a pampered day, and all of a sudden, it just seems so natural that, of course, I want it about me. And God says, what I want my children to do is to not make life about them, but life about the Lord, and then about others. When we got to where we were going, I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm having a hard time with this. And she said, well, just think about this. She said, wasn't it nice that those people working for the airline got a nice seat? And I said, no. And you say, well, Brother Gibbs, move on, because I don't have any trouble with this. Well, then you pray for me. Because I find that if I'm not careful, I can be wanting to do right, desiring to do right, but pride gets a hold. And suddenly, it's about me. The Bible tells stories of where pride comes by position and ability and wealth and achievement and possessions and knowledge and accomplishments and learning and being esteemed. One of the things I've loved about the grace of friendship with Pastor Chappell is that he's very careful not to let this become a pride. And easily it could. But he says, God did this. And this is for God, and this is about God. Pride, though, when it gets its grip, is about ungodding God. Now, if you're only going to hear one thing this morning, I beg you, write that down. A man wrote a very wonderful little book that's had a profound impact on my life. The man's name is Stuart Scott, and he wrote a book called From Pride to Humility. It's a rather brief little book, but that statement, ungodding God, is the core of pride. God, you're God, but I want some things on my terms. And we sing the great song, I Surrender All. Boy, when pride's got a grip, we don't want to surrender much of anything. How many of you want for God not to oppose you? Hold your hand up. Well, then we've got to put jettisoning to pride. Now, the only way to defeat pride is with humility. And write these four keys down, and I'll be done this morning. Humility is your focus on God and others and not yourself. How good are you at getting your focus off of you and putting your focus on God and others? What does it take for me to say, Lord, today I want you to be my focus? And then others. And God, I don't want to focus on me. Remember, pride is the exaltation of self. It's the ungodding of God. You're God, and I kind of want to be a little bit of a God too. God says, uh-uh. Man, I find I have to bow my knee and say, God, help me keep my focus on you no matter what I'm going through. Keep my focus on you and keep my focus on others. Number two, with pride, you say, I have no need to be recognized or approved. Boy, there's just something in us that wants recognition, that wants approval. But you see, it's not about me. It's about him. I'm always worried when I hear preachers who are the heroes of all their stories. I'm worried about people when they're the heroes of all their conversations. Because it's about them. I got a lot of stories. I'm just not a hero in too many. And God says, let me be your recognition. Let me be your approval. Well, they didn't, and boy, here it comes. Well, I should have been recognized. I should have. And God says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Pride, number one, is when you put the focus on God and others. Number two, when you say, by God's grace, I do not need to be recognized or approved. Number three, humility is when we stop elevating ourselves. The Bible commands us that we're supposed to esteem each other better than ourselves. Remember, if you knew me like God knows me, if I knew you like God knows you, you'd say, boy, you got good reason to be humble. We all do. And God says, I don't want you to be in the self-elevation business. Don't you do that. My dad, for many years, would go every week down to the Cleveland City Mission and preach with the men that were there for the mission. And it was a large mission. And boy, he'd pray with them and get down on their knees with them. And he helped hundreds and hundreds of them get jobs and different things. And I went down there one day when I was a teenager with my dad, and I'm watching him get down and put his arm around these street people. And I said, Dad, that's just amazing how you care for them. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you know, people like that. And boy, my dad came unhinged. He said, David, you think you're better than them? He said, you think God loves you more than he loves them? You think you're something and they're nothing? Oh, listen. When you can look at someone and say, well, at least I'm not like them, that's pride running rampant. He said, son, just because of the house you were blessed to be born in, and they weren't blessed to be born in anything like that. He said, don't you get proud. Don't you get cocky. And then he said, don't you get the big head. How many of you understand the word the big head? Boy, that's when we start thinking, wow. Number one, we're going to focus on the Lord and others. Number two, there's no need to be recognized or approved. No need to elevate self. But then number four, your goal today is to fear God and to hate pride. And your goal is to glorify God. My favorite way to say that is, my goal today is to make the Lord look good. Your goal today is to make the Lord look good. Not you look good, not me look good, but make the Lord look good. Nothing will undermine that like pride. This morning, did you hate pride? God says it's the key ingredient to fearing the Lord. And God says, the whole duty of man is to fear God, keep his commandment. If you're here and you've asked the Lord to be your Savior, then my friend, you have the power of God to put pride to flight. You can do it. But it takes a decision on your part. In the book of James, chapter 4, it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. No one can humble you. No one can humble me except you, except me. Pastor would do it for you if he could, because he's seen the devastation of pride in lives, in families, in ministries many times over. But the only person who can humble you is you. And that word humble, and with this I'm done, is written in the continuum. It means humble yourself and keep humbling. It isn't something you do once, because pride is going to keep making the bid to get back in the picture. It means humble yourself, lower yourself, and he will lift you up. I promise you, when God does the lifting, no man can stop it. When you try to do the lifting through pride, it's a sin, it's an embarrassment, and it'll never work. Humble yourself. Ungodding God. Pride, the worship of self. We got to where we're going, and I'm going to preach that night. And I'm kind of thinking about, boy, I need a sermon example. And Gloria Ann said, why don't you use your story on the airplane? I said, you mean about how incompetent they were and how they kept messing us up and how they don't know what they're doing? And man, I'm just rolling. She said, no. I was thinking more like the story of how you and I had to battle pride. That's kind of what I was thinking. Be careful. When you got pride, you'll be able to see what everybody else is doing, not good or wrong. But pride will blind you to yourself. Boy, I said, honey, I need to pray with you. You're right. I didn't make the Lord look good today. I embarrassed myself. I embarrassed the cause of Christ. Pride. The fear of God is to hate evil and pride. This morning, my friend, I invite you. In this great week of celebration, 26 magnificent years of God's blessing, the one thing the devil would love to do is import pride, because it then brings in what God says he will resist. Get it out of your family by getting it out of your life. The choice lies with you this morning. Father, thank you. Oh, your word is so clear. And God, this sin, you know it's a battle in my life. But God, I believe it's a battle for many. We don't want to be proud. It breaks your heart.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.